amplifying the things we've been told to shut up about in as many languages as possible. Our races might be different, but our struggles, universal. The only way to make the world hear our stories is by telling it we are not crazy, you are.
My name is Awazi, and I'm joined today by an awesome babe. She's a law student, she's a policy research and statistical analyst, and when she's not doing all these things, she's telling everyone to love dark skin and appreciate it. Her name is Shari Ann Henry, aka Shari Melanin. Hi, Shari.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So can you tell us why you've decided to add melanin to your name?
Well, this is just my experience, you know, with skin bleaching. I started bleaching at age 11 because, to my mind, you know, I'm black and ugly. And I'm from a community where people, you know, they were saying that I'm black and ugly. My family telling me that I'm black and ugly. So I believe that, you know, applying the skin bleaching product was the ideal thing to do, just to lighten my skin, for me to basically fit in or to appear beautiful to those around me. So it was basically my low self-esteem which propelled me to engage in such a practice that I later on regretted, you know, in life.
I find it very interesting that you would mention that, you know, even within the family, you're getting told that, you know, you're black and ugly and things like that. So that just speaks to the fact that colorism is really a thing that goes like deep, generations deep, would you say, as far as the experience in Jamaica?
Definitely. Because remember that we were once a slave colony, right? So the remnants of slavery, colonialism, right? You can see it in our modern ways of doing things or modern labels. So you're no longer a slave or you're black, but it's really, yes, you're black. So you will not be afforded certain opportunities, right? For example, when you look at the promotion, the girls who do promotions in Jamaica, they are really of a lighter skin. Mm-hmm. They're mixed girls and stuff like that. So it's from, you know, it's from slavery, the systems of slavery and colonialism, that we have issues about colorism today, racism, and even classism. Because even in Jamaica, when you look at those within the upper echelon of society, the upper class, they tend to be of a lighter skin tone. Mm-hmm. Some of them, they have background, you know, Chinese background, Asian overall, you know, they're from that part of the world, the eastern part of the world. And they come to Jamaica, pool their resources together, you know, and they're basically considered the rich families. When you look at those rich families, the argument could be that, you know, they basically pool their resources together and be who they are today. But coincidentally, these persons, they're of a lighter skin tone.
I don't know that it's 100% a coincidence, as opposed to the fact that just for generations, colorism and people's worth has been defined by the color of their skin and the access that they have gotten. Like, for example, you know, you mentioned that, oh, people who do promotions, like I would assume that like adverts and stuff like that are usually light skin. And also the fact that even within families, sometimes, you know, you find that darker skinned children are not really given access to best things. For example, the light skinned kids will be prioritized over the dark skinned kids for who's going to get to school first or who's going to go to this kind of place and all those things. So after a while, when you look at life holistically, you begin to see that these things just have a ripple effect. When you go to the best schools, you have access to the best places to play with all the best people. That just tells over time on your social currency. So when you are looking to have doors open for you, just based off of the fact that you are light skinned, it will happen. And what does that say for the children that you have and the children of the dark skins?
Definitely. Socialization is one thing, right? As you said earlier, there are families in which, you know, you have a black child or you have a brown child. And the brown skin child, there's stronger preference for that child, right? The mother will treat that child differently from the black child. Mm. Now, if within the home, you're teaching, you're telling the child these things, you're inculcating in their minds that you're black, and you're of no good, because that's what you're doing indirectly. So if you're doing that in the homes, what do you expect to happen at the community level, at the secondary agent of socialization, whether it be the church, the schools, what do you expect? Because if you're raising a child in that way to believe that they're black and no good, it simply means that they look to others to accept them. And if you can't accept them as a parent, others are not entitled to accept them. You understand? So how you raise your child, how you raise your child, you know, teaching them to have that level of self-confidence that will basically make them be the best version of themselves in society. That is important. And the issue we are facing now in contemporary Caribbean societies, in contemporary spaces, the issue we're facing is that a lot of families, they're very dysfunctional. And dysfunctional has a lot to do with how, whether or not they were able to effectively, you know, teach them the basic norms, values, teach them to love themselves. Because if you don't teach a child to love themselves, they look to others to tell them that they love them. And then, you know, I see that as a form of secondary love, because if you're not getting the love from your home, the truth is that the love you get outside may not even be real, you know, because when people realize that you have low self-esteem, they take advantage of it. And when they realize that you're lacking love, they can give you love that may not be real. You know, it's like they're pitying you, you know, they're sorry for you, and you don't know if it's genuine. But the genuine love should actually come from the home, where you're basically telling your child to love themselves, to be the best version of themselves. You know, despite the limited resources in our home, despite the circumstances, despite our plight that we're living in, you know, you should use whatever God-given talents and skills and your education to basically be the best version of yourself.
Do you believe that the bias that comes with colorism, you know, the thing where you just grant someone more access or just more kind to someone simply because of the color of their skin, do you believe that this is a result of an unconscious bias? Or do you believe that this is a purely conscious thing and people just know exactly what they're doing and they just keep on doing it?
I think that it is a purely conscious thing. You know, these things make society functional. So to have, you know, persons of a darker skin tone in certain spaces, it's like you're creating an equal society. Societies are never equal, right? So I believe this is done to basically have the different stratas, have the different systems functioning, have the different spaces being so exclusive, certain benefits, certain opportunities within certain spaces, certain colors, you know, just to make society functional. Because if you should give persons of a darker skin tone the same opportunities, you know, that is close to equality, and that is not happening. We don't see equality happening. So as I said earlier, it's really a remnant of slavery and colonialism, and modern day laws, modern day practices, they were created are to limit individuals, not to make society equal. I don't see equality happening.
Yeah, and you know, to me, it sounds like that just directly affects people's careers and the career paths that people just choose. It's almost like if I was a dark skinned girl, just like in Jamaica, just growing up now, I would automatically decide that, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be, for example, I say an air hostess, or maybe I'm not going to be a model. Maybe I'm not going to succeed in these careers. So I'm gonna explore these other ones. That is crazy, and that is so, so limiting.
Definitely. And I can share my experience with you. When I was growing up, I wanted to become an air hostess. And I remember when I said to someone in my community that I want to become an air hostess, and she said to me, they're not going to sue you for the job because you don't have long hair and you're too black. You're too black and you're too black. They'll not select you. Because then I had low self-esteem. So when she said that to me, I basically, it took a toll on me, because I basically changed, you know, my dreams. Because if I'm black and they're not going to select me, why waste time to do the specific courses to become an air hostess?
when the answer is just in a tub of cream, just bleach.
And you know, they you do have air hostesses who bleed.
Yeah, I imagine that. And you know, I'm Nigerian.
Yep.
And here in Nigeria, it's a similar story as well. Like, I don't know that it's to the extent that you experience it in Jamaica. For me, I'm very dark skinned. And growing up, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, blackie shadow. They'll say I'm black like night and all of those things. And it didn't really bother me because, like, I believe that my family was very shielded. However, if we were at, for example, a birthday party and we'll do this thing where it's like a beauty pageant and all the girls would walk, you know, little kids were around like 5, 6 and all the girls would walk and kind of be like models. I believe, okay, maybe this is a bias, but I believe that I had like the best walk. I believe that I was doing my thing. I had practiced. I had all the sass. I literally was one of the only kids that was putting in all the extra and, you know, sprinkling all the drama, but I still didn't get picked. They picked a light-skinned girl that did barely anything, also because she was really shy. So she just like walked very quickly and left, but they picked her as the winner. And to me as a kid, that was already just like telling me that, like, because I didn't know the reason. I didn't know why. The only thing I could see was that this girl was very light-skinned and she was clearly mixed race. And that was just, wow.
But that's the reality though in even Jamaica. So, you know, sometimes people say that it doesn't make any sense you waste your time because these things, they're already set in stone. You know, you going into a pageant, a beauty pageant, as a very beautiful black girl, they know that they're not going to give it to you because it's not only colorism and the girl being brown. But chances are that brown skinned girl, her father is some rich person, right? Her mother may have some links with the organizers of the pageant, right? So it's set in stone. Mm-hmm. You're going to, she's the next Miss Jamaica or she's the next Miss Caribbean, next top model. So these things are all set in stone. And you, no matter, to me, the systems, they're just, the system ensures that certain things continue, not to stop it. So they know when they want to give a black girl an award, whether it be the Grammy, to win the beauty pageant. We know when. So you can be there for them to recognize you or to put you on that international stage. Terrorism and other factors are at play.
So you used to bleach your skin and from 11 and at some point you just like stopped. Why did you stop? Is it that you felt like you didn't want to enjoy the access that you were getting as a light skinned girl anymore? Why did you stop?
Well, I wasn't gaining any access as a bleacher, right?
But I stopped because level.
You know, after a point you begin to love yourself and it's like you're accomplishing so much academically and you realize that your academics, your education is what you'll have to use to become successful and not necessarily your skin. Because what is inside and what you present yourself or you project and protect your brand within the different social spaces, it's important. So it has nothing to do with your skin color. Yes, that's a reality. But in order to break the status quo, in order to mark down that kind of labeling, you really have to be that person who looks beyond your skin color and really what value you have to add to society. And that's when I realized that, you know, I am black and beautiful and it makes no sense I bleach because even if I bleach, I'll still not be accepted in certain spaces. So just do what you have to do with your education, with your dreams, your ambitions, you know, merge them, put them together and see how best you can be the best version of yourself. It's more about as what you have to add to society, the different spaces, the different duties and responsibilities that you're given and how well you perform them. That is more important than anything else. You know, so I had to look at when I did my C-sec subjects and I realized that I have 9 C-sec subjects. I had to, you know, do some sort of self-evaluation that Had it been for skin bleaching, they would have kicked me out from school long time. So it must be something else. And that's when I realized that, you know, I have more to add than just be this person with low self-esteem walking around bleaching my skin. It makes no sense, you know. So as I said, it's more about me doing that self-evaluation. And when I went to United States for the first time, so whilst persons back home calling me black and ugly, you know, when I went to the United States, I went on Flatbush Avenue. Now, we know that are black Americans, they don't really bleach. They smoke and they do other things, but they don't bleach. That there's that level of black consciousness in the black community, in the black communities, and especially in New York. So when I was working on Flatbush, I met a lot of islanders. And I remember when they used to come in every day and they said to me, you know, you're black and beautiful. These guys, they just come in and tell me I'm black and beautiful. And they're not, you know, they're not saying I like you or anything. They're just saying, oh, I love your complexion. I love your smile. I love this about you. And it led me to compare the two countries, you know, Jamaica and New York or America. And I said that people, that was, and I realized that, you know, something is really wrong with my country. Something is wrong with America too, because there's an issue of racism. But something is also wrong with my country, with an issue of colorism. So it's just me realizing that, you know, bleaching is not the answer.
But I would say that all over the world, like, we experience colorism to different degrees, because even America, there's still a problem of people saying that, oh, you know, like, oh, and it was only just recently that people started to, like, move away from saying, oh, no, please, I only date light skins. I only like light skin. Oh, I'm trying to have a light skin baby. I'm not going to date this person because I don't want a dark skin baby. Like, so I feel like it just happens in different degrees everywhere. But for Jamaica, from what I'm learning from you and from what I just understand in general, I feel like it's so much deeper rooted. It's so complex. It goes for generations to generations. And I don't even know if a clear end is in sight. And when I say an end, I don't mean that an end just because, oh, you know, we need to end this. We don't like bleaching. That's a personal preference. But I'm saying an end simply because the self-esteem of young kids is at stake. The skin, like, is at stake. And when I say the skin, I'm talking about the general health that is at stake, and just equality. These are things that are all kind of intertwined on this one thing that is colorism. It seems like such a small thing, from just saying, oh, you know, I'll give the light-skinned baby the bigger piece of cake. And all of a sudden, 20 years from now, it's the light-skinned baby is progressing more than dark-skinned one. And it's just because of small choices like this, tiny little steps. How would you suggest that we can kind of grow from this place?
Well, there has to be that willingness from the different stakeholders to see, you know, a change in behavior. The willingness, the political will is imperative. The willingness of the community members is imperative, because whilst the government can say, okay, let's ban skin bleaching products, right? People will find a way to smuggle the products and make use of them. So yeah, we have to start some level of consciousness movement at the community level, within the schools, to teach the individuals, to tell them, to inculcate in their minds that they are black and beautiful. And as I said earlier, it can't be about your skin. So you have black persons around the world who are progressive, successful. Even locally, you have black persons. And it's more about, as I said, what they have to add to society, they have to add to society, and not about their skin. So you have to teach individuals, show them that, you know, it's more about your skin. What about your God-given talents? What about, you know, your dreams, your aspirations, what you want to become? Work towards it. Empower these communities. Empower the individuals. Empower the children. You know, that is very important. And as I said, it requires a wide stakeholder engagement to see this happening, right? Willingness of individuals. Because the government can do this, and the citizens not willing to do what they're saying. So that level of black consciousness, it has to be developed at the community level. Because if not, you know, an issue like this, it will continue for generations, definitely. We have to start the conversation and don't let it be a talk shop. I mean, it sounds, you know, the argument is that individuals do what they want to do to themselves. For example, bleaching. But if you have a population where skin bleaching is relatively high, right? What's going to happen in terms of, you know, the future of that, of those individuals? What are they going to do? Because when you bleach, there are certain opportunities that you will not come your way. You can't go into a job interview and get the job when the prospective employer look at you and see that you're bleaching. So is it that we want to stay at a particular level? It's up to the individual, but it's also up to the system to have some campaign, right? Basically teach them the importance of self-love. Because if when you love yourself, there are many things that you won't do to yourself. And skin bleaching is one such thing. So we need to create that level of consciousness, that level of acceptance, you know, where individuals, their self-esteem is way up. Individuals believing in themselves and what they have to add to society and less about their skin color.
You know what's crazy? You spoke about like people not being able to get jobs when people look at them as a bleacher. But the general idea is that most people bleach because they're desperate to have access to spaces. And they're saying that, oh, you know, if I bleach my skin, they'll accept me here, they'll accept me there. But what you're saying is that the reality is different. Like once they look at you as a bleacher, you're not going to get the access that you really want in the first place. So why would, like, is it that people don't know this? Is this why people would keep on bleaching?
They know this, right? They know this, but I think it's a defense mechanism that they use to feel good within themselves, you know, because if you look at some of the bleachers, right, they're from the lower strata of society. They're from poor socioeconomic backgrounds. That's saying that persons from the uptown area don't bleach. Everywhere skin bleaching is practiced, but uptown they call it skin toning and downtown they call it bleaching. Mm. But I believe that people use this to prove to the system that, you know, this is all right. So whilst you can come in and you can kick off my door and you can beat me up when you're looking for my wanted brother, if I bleach, you can't say anything to me. You can't do anything to me because this is my body. I do what I want to do with my body. You understand? So I believe it's a mechanism they use to prove to the system that whilst you can breach some of my rights, I also have the right to free. I can freely do what I want with my body.
Yeah. Wow. We just keep opening up layers and layers and layers of this, and it's wild. So colorism, even in just like the media, is interesting. We've seen like cases of Vibes Cartel, and then there was the time when what's the musician, her name, she bleached her skin as well. Or she pretended like she bleached her skin, but she didn't really do that. She just did that to kind of make people start talking about it and to spread the love of dark skin. So that thing alone, when that happened in Nigeria, I looked at it and I was like, wow. So this literally means that this is such a big problem. Like even in the music, it's promoted that, oh, this is better than that. It's just like, where do we even start, right? Spice did all that talking, and then there's still people that are doing all of that, and it's still happening. It just keeps on going. So does this mean that the media is saying one thing? That's like people like Spice. We're saying one thing, but what we're showing is completely different, like what people are seeing. Because, again, it's a visual thing, right? But when people see, oh, this is what gets more value, it's almost like it's the most human thing to go that way. It's like when you see that, oh, if I get this certification on my resume, this will push me up a level. You will try to chase that certification. So it's like, is this a standard that is just constantly reinforced, even though everybody is saying, oh, you know, we're promoting dark skin. We're saying that dark skin is beautiful. We don't want young kids to be bleaching, but in the movies, you're still going to cast light skin.
As I said, it's some level of hypocrisy, you know, when you look at it, because
as you said, we're
saying one thing, but we're doing another. The argument could also be that we're teaching black children, but when it's time for them to get an opportunity to upgrade themselves, it's hard, you know, and sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. So it's easy for us to say, no, that child wasn't given the opportunity because of skin color, but something else. But the truth is, it may be the skin color, right? It may be because of the links that child has in society or the family of that child, right? So it's really about, as I said, for us in Jamaica, it's about classism, colorism. And these two factors play a significant role in terms of opportunities, paving the way for opportunities for children from different spaces, from different backgrounds.
I feel you. And now, so we'll be speaking on a more general term, right? Because I know that it's not exclusive to just women. Men also get on skin bleaching. And it's funny because I did see a Jamaican guy on Instagram and he was saying things like, oh, you know, when I was black, women weren't paying me attention. And now that I'm light, I'm getting more attention. It's crazy because everywhere else, it's like, how is it possible that this is also affecting men in the way that it's affecting women? But even more importantly, how does this translate directly for women in like social interactions? I would say like just like colorism socially for women.
Well, as you said earlier, a lot of boys, they really believe that, you know, once they are bleaching or once they're brown, it's they'll get the girl, and that is just a fact. But it's really based on the social spaces, right? So when I interviewed a guy, he told me that that's what the girls them love. The girls, they love this, and they gravitate to it. They love you, you know, when you're a bleacher, right? But females react to something like this. As I said, it depends on the spaces, because an uptown girl, she may want to be with a bleacher, but her family may or may not accept it. A downtown girl, her family may, but when you look at the proportion of girls from the ghetto or from the downtown area speaking to a bleacher, it's way higher in relation to an uptown girl speaking to a bleacher. So as I said, the interaction is based on your space that you're living in and what is accepted, what is not accepted, what is good or bad behavior, what is a deviant behavior, or whether that boy is conforming.
Yeah, you're right.
By him conforming, it simply means that he's not a bleacher. And if he's a smart guy, right, and he's not a bleacher, then the uptown family will accept that boy for his or her daughter, right? But when you look at the if the son is not bleaching, but he's brilliant, chances are he will still be rejected from the uptown family because of the fact that he's a bleacher. So as I said, it's based on the space. You do have persons who are smart who bleach, and you do have persons who are also smart and they don't bleach. But you are more accepted when you are smart and you're not bleaching. Even in a job, you come in, you're very smart, and you are bleaching, you'll not be accepted. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Your image says a lot, right? So in a different space, now where you're smart and bleaching, the door will be closed on you. And that's just the reality, right? Colorism is an issue. Colorism is a reality. But bleaching your skin won't solve that harsh reality. You understand? Bleaching won't solve it. So just be you. Accept who you are.
Awesome. Thank you, Sherry. Now I just want to talk real quick about like domestic violence, because I do know that it's a big issue in Jamaica. I also know that you champion women's rights and you just keep like trying to push that, right? So even before we just go on to talk about like domestic violence, in the pure essence of it, in the totality, I just want to say, like, is it true that light-skinned women get battered or are a lot less likely to be victims of domestic violence? Like, it's just a random thing I saw, and I'm just like, this is interesting. How does this tie into the big thing that is the issue here? Is this true or is that just like a lie?
I don't think it's totally true, because you do have light-skinned girls who are being abused by their male partner. Really, their insecurities that really push them to do certain things. And if a girl is grown, a man is rushing, the men are rushing her, then he may want to prove that, you know, I have her and I can do whatever I want with her, and which may result in, you know, physical abuse, verbal abuse and stuff like that. But I don't think it's a big factor.
It's not
where a man, you know, treating or not beating his brown skin girl in relation to the black girl. It's based on socialization and how you raise your child and teaching them that, mm-hmm. you know, beating a woman, verbally abusing her is not the way, right? But I don't think he may treat her better. Of course, he will treat the brown skin girl better. But in terms of abusing her, no. I don't think the proportion or the difference between a black girl and a brown girl being with a man, I don't think there's a huge difference. If a man is a beater, he's just a beater. The difference is how much him love him black girl versus him brown skin girl. That's the difference. How much him love the black girl versus a brown skin girl. But not beating the brown skin, not beating the black girl more than the brown skin girl.
All right, cool. Let's just wrap this up real quick. If there was advice that you would give yourself at 11 years old regarding colorism, what would that be?
Love yourself. Be confident about who you are. Be very assertive in terms of your dreams and you spreading your wings and in the different social spaces that you're in. You know, be the best version of yourself. Be that individual who sets goals and work towards them. So not focusing, don't be too preoccupied with your skin color, but you know that when you're 11 years old, you're a 10 years later, you'll be a lawyer, you'll be a doctor, you'll be an air hostess, you'll be a police, whatever it is you want to be it. But by loving yourself at age 11, 10 years time, you'll accomplish all of those goals that you want to accomplish. So look beyond your skin complexion and look at the value you can add to society. And one way to believe in those dreams and aspirations is to really love yourself. Because if you love yourself, you believe in the growth of yourself, you believe in your development, and you just believe in yourself despite your circumstances. These things will not be the same. But bleaching your skin is not the answer. Self-love is really the answer, which will lead you to achieve your big goals, your big dreams.
Awesome. And what would you want people to stop saying to dark-skinned girls specifically?
Don't tell the girl that she's beautiful for a black girl. She's beautiful. You know, it's not because...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, don't tell her that she's beautiful for a black girl, because you're telling her that you're making a statement about her complexion. She's a girl and she's beautiful. Don't make that a single variable. You know, don't variable at all. She's beautiful, not black and beautiful.
110,000%. 110,000%. Thank you, Sherry. Personally, I would say that people should stop telling black girls that, oh, you know, if you're a little lighter, you would look like this, or you would get this if you're a little lighter. Please don't say that to black girls or dark skinned girls. Don't tell dark skinned girls that, oh, you know, wow, it's just looking at you reminds me of. Yeah, we're tired of being called food. We're just people. We're just human beings. The color of our skin should not limit your niceness or kindness to us. You should not run out of compliments simply because we are dark skinned. The same way you would compliment a light skinned person without referring to them as being light skinned, you should compliment us. If you're going to tell me I have good skin, don't tell me, oh, you have good, beautiful, like, don't be too dramatic about it. Like, it's good skin. Thank you so much, Sherry, for joining us. And thank you for allowing me document your thoughts on colorism today. My name is Awazi. Again, this is the We're Not Crazy, You Are podcast. So for everyone who is listening and everyone who has thought or has attempted or has even unconsciously done things that has made dark-skinned women feel like we're crazy, as far as like giving access to people that are lighter-skinned or just like being more gracious to them than you are to us dark-skinned people, we're not the crazy ones. You're the crazy ones, because this is a thing. It's a problem. And as Sherry has shared, it is so, so deep. We will keep trying to explore, and we'll just keep trying in our little spaces, that's Sherry and myself, to impact and make sure that there is some kind of change in mindset, so that maybe not this generation, maybe not the next generation, but we know that generations to come, just based off of the interactions they've had with us, would live better lives and value themselves much better than the way they're positioned to at the moment. Please, if you're listening to this podcast, feel free to share, feel free to comment on social media. Let's have a full conversation about it. And I would advise that you just encourage any dark-skinned girls you know that are considering bleaching their skin to listen to this, man. Like, there's good advice in here.
You can follow me on Instagram at Shari Melanin Official. That's Shari Melanin Official on Instagram. And my email address is loveyourskinappyourmelanin@gmail.com. Okay?
That is so on brand. It's like your entire thing is dedicated to this. I love it. Alrighty, guys. Catch you next time on the We're Not Crazy, You Are podcast, where we call out more of the bullshit the world keeps telling us we're crazy for. Bye.
You've been listening to We're Not Crazy, You Are, proudly brought to you by Document Women. Be sure to follow our social media at Document Women. Also visit our website at www.documentwomen.com.